Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So the big news over the last couple of days, the Bears are now negotiating with Naperville. Or as Kevin Fishbane put it, Nate Bearville. That's actually a pretty good joke. But here's my thing. The song and dance of getting stadiums built always involves some sort of like, we could possibly put this stadium in Aurora or Oswego or Sandwich or Newark or whatever it is. But the Bears have committed to buying land in Arlington Heights, and that is where the stadium is going to go. And it reminds me of when the Rams, when Stan Kroenke had bought the land in Inglewood and was trying to tell everybody, like, I'm not necessarily going to build a stadium there, even though this plot of land was approved for a stadium 20 years ago. The fact of the matter remains, this is all part of the song and dance. At some point, they will be breaking ground on a brand new stadium for Arlington Heights, Illinois. They're not going to Naperville. They're not staying at Soldier Field. They definitely will be building that stadium. It's just a song and dance, and some deals are going to be cut. Listen, if you learned anything from what is happening with LIV Golf and PGA and the PGA, it all comes down to money, and it's a song and dance. And you guys can sit there and go through the motions, but we know eventually this stadium is going to be built in Arlington Heights. So it's cool. I understand people are panicking. I know you're going to probably want to ask a question about it. There's the answer, but we'll address it later because we got a great show. Mikey Beardown Cuz is going to be with us. So you know what? Enough of my stammering, Sammy. Let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to put it back. Justin Fields making magic happen.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other. It's gonna be sick.
It's Tuesday night. You know what that means. It is time for Take It to the Rank. Great show planned for you this evening. As mentioned, Mikey Beardown Cuz will be with us in a couple of moments, but a couple of minor notes to go over before we bring him on. The Bears are currently in OTAs. Working out, they've got some other things. The OTAs are happening, then there's mini camps, then there'll be a time off, and then, of course, they'll be coming back for training camp. And all the news surrounding the Chicago Bears right now seems to be very positive. One of the biggest pieces of news, Jalen Johnson returned. He was back there at camp. We saw him. Number 33 was there. You know, it's one of those things with the Bears. They've done a great job in the draft over the last couple of years. You know, presumably we hope the guys that they drafted this year will go ahead and pan out, but having Jalen Johnson back is big. And Justin Fields being at his charity event over the last couple of weeks was also very big. So a lot of great signs for the Chicago Bears, and here to talk about it is our friend that we see all over the place. It's Mikey Beardown Cuz. Let's go ahead and bring him on right now. Without further ado, sorry to keep you waiting. That was too long for you.
No, it wasn't. I like when you go on your tangents in the beginning. I thoroughly enjoy it, to be honest. So I think it was a great introduction and a great first couple points made. All the things you said, I agree with 100%. The Arlington Heights charade, big charade, leveraging, political leveraging. And I think Kevin Warren's the right man in the right spot to do it.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. If it was Ted Phillips, I might be a little bit more concerned, but Kevin Warren brings a certain level of credibility where you're just like, yeah, I think this is going to get done.
Yeah, I agree. Has experience in the NFL before. Big Ten commissioner, obviously, his last major duties of note. But he's been in this game a long time. He's a football guy. You finally got a football guy in that position, not, you know, some CPA, not an accountant, not, you know, a family, you know, a family friend who is, you know, by the grace of that family, still employed by my estimation. I can't see another reason why he would be. So that's I think they're in a good spot with Kevin Warren. A lot of people, I think, that were intimately involved with the Big Ten. And I think COVID had a lot to do with, you know, the decision making in that conference at the time. I think a lot of people questioned the Warren hire. I was not one of those people, because the same people that were complaining about how there wasn't a football guy in place then complain when they go out and get a football guy. So it's, again, that this is being a Bears fan. There is no pleasing this fan base. There never will be pleasing this fan base until the only way is to win a Super Bowl. That's it. And then even somebody will probably still complain about that they didn't win it as by as many points as they should have, and it was a sloppy game or something. But that's the only resolution I could see all the fans coming to an agreement.
The most Chicago Bears thing, and there is truth to this, and I don't mean to make light of it, but the Bears in 85, the most dominant team in NFL history.
Yes.
One of the most dominating Super Bowls of all time. And yet, when you ask people about it, 30 years later, they still are like, Walter Payton didn't get a touchdown. You're like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like, there's always something. The Bears fans will always find something. Yeah. Did you have a great meal at Portillo's? Like, yeah, but you know what? They were out of, spicy pickles. Like, no, it's always something. There's always something with the cake machine. The cake shake machine was out. Whatever it is, there's always something to complain about. But I do feel very confident with Kevin Warren being in there. And so it's more of a non-issue than anything. What about Jalen Johnson? Were you happy to see him back? Because that, to me, again, like, you don't want to get into these situations where it feels like we got a good core, like, especially in the secondary. Like last year, Kyler Gordon, I think, came on, Jalen Johnson, and then the guy Stevenson that they got out of Miami. I was going to say, well, he did play at Georgia as well. But like, I feel like, okay, now we're starting to put it together. I think it's huge to have him back for OTAs this week.
Yeah, I put out a tweet pretty much like right after the second day of the draft. And by my estimation, I think that the Bears defense at linebacker and at secondary now is set. I believe that. I still think the question is going to be, are they going to be able to generate any semblance of a pass rush that's going to make that back end's job a little bit easier, because nothing will mask the secondary play a little bit as much as a good pass rush. We know that.
Yes.
But they added a lot of pieces in the draft. Again, they took two D tackles very high with their picks, you know, Florida, and then the Missouri, the D tackle from Missouri, I believe, as well.
Yes.
So they invested in that position. When you're talking about the secondary, you're talking really about the guy from Penn State that everyone loves, that I said would be the captain of this team eventually. I think Jaquan Brisker will be.
Right.
He is a Bear defender through and through. Disregard for his own body. Wants to be in the mix on every play. Does not have a problem mixing up at the line of scrimmage, blitzing, staying back. Ball hawk type tendencies sometimes. He's got a nose for the football as well. Him and Eddie Jackson back there. Now you got Tyreek Stevenson, like you said, Adam, who they drafted out of Miami. Gordon struggled beginning of the year, came on very strong late in the year. And Jalen Johnson, of course, who's supposed to be now, you know, he wants to get paid, right? Everyone, I think, knows Jalen Johnson wants that extension. Who are they going to extend? Is Komet going to get the big money? Tremendous year last year for him. Is Johnson going to get the big money? Johnson regards himself as being a top 15, 10 corner in this league. This is going to be a big season for him. But I do think that secondary is an absolute position of strength for the Bears. They're going to rely on them heavily, I think. And combine that with some of these super athletic and tackling machine linebackers that they brought in via free agency. And I think you're going to have a pretty decent defense if the D-line can stop the run and rush the passer. But that is a big, big if until you actually see it play out on the field.
Yeah, it is one of the things, you know, with all the money that they still have left to spend, I hope some of it is going to be earmarked for Jalen Johnson. There is always a question when there is some holdover from a previous regime. Does Ryan Pace hold Jalen Johnson in the same esteem as some of the other guys that he's picked over the last couple of seasons? Talking about the guys, Tyreek Stevenson, Zach Pickens out of South Carolina. SEC. Listen, I know you're a Big Ten guy, and you like to generalize all these SEC schools, especially the mid-tier ones. But
yeah,
he's a South. I didn't want to. You were spitballing. You were rolling. I didn't want to jump in there.
No, him and Dexter out of Florida. I know, obviously, Dexter. And then I don't know why I said Missouri. But, yes, Zach Pickens out of South Carolina, big upside player. I think he'd come in and he'd do something, you know, right off the bat. Even maybe more than Dexter, from what I understand from some of the way that I'm reading some of the scouting reports on him, maybe more of a right plug-and-play guy, more so than Dexter. We'll see. But I think Pickens, everything I've read, big upside guy. So we'll see.
Yeah, and you want your guys to be rotational players. If they come in and contribute and put in some pretty good minutes, you really like that. And, you know, at the same time, when you look at the Bears, they still have Gibson, who is going to be there, who has an opportunity to improve.
Love him from everything.
And Dom Robinson last year had that great first game against the San Francisco 49ers, wasn't as prevalent. You didn't hear his name as much over the remainder of the season, but still was out there working hard, improving on his craft. There is an opportunity for these guys to get better. And if the secondary is better, that helps. And you look at some of the moves they made, you alluded to it earlier, some of the moves that they made at the linebacker position, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, they come in, they join presumably Jack Sanborn to form the linebacking core. Noah Sewell is a draft pick, or a fifth round draft pick out of Oregon. You know, another guy who could come in and figure into the mix, and also a guy that I've been looking at more and more as a possible pass rush specialist. In the early part of his career, we might only see him on third downs, but could be somebody who can contribute there pretty quickly. So one of my questions that I had for you as we were going to open this up, and I had three that I wanted to go over. That was the third question, but did the Bears do enough to fix last season's worst scoring defense? And I think one of the big keys, Mike, is that it's not necessarily that you have to go out and be the 49ers. But if you can make a stop when you need to go out there, like, listen, I don't need you to hold the Vikings to 0 points, but I need you to make a stop when you need to. Do you think the Bears have accomplished that?
Well, they've invested a lot of capital into the defense over the last two off seasons. They invested a lot of capital last year with their first two picks being secondary. They invested a lot of capital after they took Darnell Wright with the first pick, which, again, in my opinion, was the right decision. You had to get a premier tackle coming out for Fields. But then again, they go D-tackle. They go corner. You know, they are putting in the capital and in the investment into the defense. So if there isn't an improvement and there isn't a market improvement, then that's going to come back as a bad reflection on Ryan Poles. They spent a lot of money. They're big premium money. Now, granted, they still have money left, and they're going to have a lot of money next free agency, but they spent their premier money on Tremaine Edmonds, and that's going to be a lot of pressure on Tremaine Edmonds. But again, to me, and I spoke to Alex Brown about this pretty outwardly, I said that if you're going to tell me that you're spending the same amount of money you would have spent on Roquan Smith and you're getting Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, like you said, for the same price tag, basically. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tremaine Edmonds, to me, he's still a baby, number one. He's very, very young. And to me, he is the type of athlete that I am willing to invest a lot of money into, because to me, he is a special type of athlete. I'm not saying Roquan Smith is not a very good off-ball linebacker. He's a very good textbook off-ball linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds, to me, is a special type of athlete. He has the ability to do things that certain guys just are not able to do. And that being said, I think all of that investment, I think you have to see a market improvement in this defense this year. I think there will be positions where they're going to be asked. Obviously, they couldn't do it last year. You got to get a stop here. You got to get a stop. I think they'll be able to do it more often this year, certainly, than last year. Will it be more often than not this year? We'll see, but definitely more often than last year. Otherwise, it's going to come back as a poor reflection on some of the moves Paul's made, because the investment is there. So hopefully the return is there as well.
Yeah, and as a fan, I'm taking a little bit of a leap of faith into the organizational depth that they are working on right now. That is one of the big keys. You know, I was talking with the Titan fans last night on our sick podcast, the Titans version of this. And I said, look, I go, and they talk about, and these, you know, you talk about injuries, and they're like, well, we had a lot of injuries in the secondary. We had injuries. I'm like, everybody has to deal with injuries. It is impossible to go through the entirety of a season and not have injuries. And the key to me is, like, how are you doing in filling that depth? And over the last two seasons, Ryan Poles walked into a situation last year where we had, like, what was it, six picks? And he turned it into 11.
Yep.
We have a huge number of picks again this year. And listen, Noah Sewell might not come out and win Rookie of the Year. But if he's able to go – exactly. If he can go out there and play and you know, contribute as –
he's going to be a special teams contributor right off the bat. Right off the bat, he's going to be an excellent special teamer. I think – and a lot of people said – I mean, a lot of people had him graded a lot higher than where he went. I think, you know – I think Sewell was a great pick. I think he could be a surprise guy. I'm not going to say he's going to be. And like you said, he might not win a Defensive Rookie of the Year, but you don't need him to. He's a fifth-round pick. He's not expected to. You don't need him to. Just if he can contribute, that would be the positive outcome, and I think he will.
And if he could have a Jack Sanborn-like season, like, okay, cool. That was a pleasant surprise last year. An undrafted free agent comes in, becomes a valuable contributor, becomes a folk hero. In some respects. And it wasn't, and remember this too, it wasn't just us, because our guy Shregs on Good Morning Football was rocking a Sanborn jersey at one point. And you're like, listen, this has gone beyond the Chicago fan base. He started open eyes around the league. Now, the offensive line, again, you mentioned the move. I do love the idea. I know that we had to take an offensive lineman. I was on the record of saying I wanted Jackson Smith and Jigba, because I'm a lunatic and that's just kind of the way that I think. And that's what I wanted to do. Darnell Wright, you talked about this a moment ago. Darnell Wright, not only him, but Nate Davis. Nate Davis, I think that this one is kind of going under the radar when you're talking about the Bears acquisitions this offseason. I think that right side of the line now suddenly looks pretty good. Not that it's the strength of the team, but I say it's looking pretty good.
I mean, and I think Tevin Jenkins, to me, graded out as one of the top guards in the league. I think Tevin Jenkins is one of the top guards. If he's healthy, Tevin Jenkins, to me, could be a top 7 to 8 guard in the league. I really believe he can be if he's healthy. So now you're talking, you got two capable guards, more than capable, really.
Yeah.
You have a rookie tackle who, yes, he's a rookie, but he's a highly touted rookie. He's played against the best competition and shut down some of the best competition. I'm talking about Will Anderson, of course, from Alabama when they played against them, being from Tennessee. He shut down some of the top competition, played against some of the best in the SEC. Then, of course, you got Braxton Jones on the left side. As a rookie from an FCS school, fifth rounder, you got to tip your cap to what he did. Was it perfect? No. Is that one of the hardest positions to transition to into the NFL and be the most demanding positions in the NFL? Yes, outside of corner and quarterback, it probably is the most demanding and the most difficult to just step right in as a rookie and be perfect. It's not going to happen. And then we're going to see what happens now with Lucas Patrick, who I think a lot of people forgot about. But last year, a lot of people were excited about because he had come from the same system as the new offense coordinator in Green Bay. and he was going to be kind of like the field general to run the offense at center, and then he gets hurt. So now Cody Whitehair, he's going to be there. And I think overall, they have a little bit of depth. I think they're much, much better, in a much better position than they were going into last season, obviously. And I think the unit could perform up to standard, to the point where, Adam, and I'm going to say it now, Justin Fields this year, they're, unless by some act of God, unfortunate act of God, that all these guys get hurt in the first 2 weeks, the offensive linemen, or God forbid, DJ Moore and Mooney get hurt, unless there's major catastrophic injury in the first month of the season, the excuses are going to be slim to none for me this year, personally, for Justin. I think 100%. They've done enough for Justin to support him. I think he's got a terrific running back room. I think he's got a much better upgraded offensive line. I think he's got obviously he's got his wide receiver one now. So it's going to be, he's in the system now 2 full years. It's going to be very hard for anyone to say, well, it's not there yet for him. It's time to stop making excuses, specifically offensive line. I think it's upgraded greatly this year. Greatly. Is it going to be perfect? Again, no. Is it going to be a top five unit in the league? Probably not going to be a top half unit in the league. I think so. Yeah, I think it'll be top half of the league. Definitely.
Yeah. You know what? Right now, if you look at it, and let's say that Ryan Jensen doesn't start and you still have Larry Borum there. Like, there's two legitimate NFL type starters. You know, Larry Borum last year was kind of going through it, kind of learning his way. And I don't think that you would give up on him as a prospect, but he still is a very capable player who is not going to be starting, that in case, God forbid, something happens to one of our offensive linemen, he's going to be able to step in. And that's the same way it's going to be if Cody Whitehair doesn't start. You know, like, you have capable backups, which you want, because you have to anticipate at some point,
yes,
there are going to be injuries. And I'm with you. You know, a lot of people ask me this. And again, last night, going on with the guys from Tennessee with the Titans podcast, they asked me, like, what happens if it doesn't work out for Justin Fields? I'm like, well, then it is a question. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm not so loyal to the point of like, oh, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work. Like, no, you have to go out and perform.
He's got to play better. Yeah.
He's got to play
as a passer. Yes.
And I'm confident that he's going to be. Like, I was confident in him as a prospect coming out of Ohio State. I was convinced that he was going to be one of the best quarterbacks in that class. I think that Trevor Lawrence was the number one guy. Like, okay, that's fine. I kind of like Justin as much.
I thought they were 1A and B. I really didn't think they were 1A and B.
Well, you're an Ohio State guy. It seems like
that's true. There is inherent bias. And listen, I'm not ignorant to the fact that when he played at Ohio State, he's playing behind an offensive line where pretty much everyone is going to get drafted and go play in the NFL. He's throwing the ball to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Chris Olave, and Garrett Wilson. I mean, that's preposterous. That's preposterous. Yeah. And that has to be taken into account. But, I mean, the numbers were still there. He still had to go out and do it against a conference that still happens to play defense in college football, which a lot of these conferences don't anymore. He still hung up 6 passing touchdowns on Clemson with a broken rib. He still came back in Ann Arbor, Michigan after hyperextending his knee and came back and lit Michigan up. So, I mean, he played Alabama the COVID year. Yes, they didn't win the national championship that year, but again, they had so many guys out for COVID. It's going to be on him this year. I really, really want to see how he is as a passer, anticipation, progressions, making the right decisions. But this year, I just hope it's different with his supporting. I hope his supporting cast actually supports him this year, because God knows last year, way too many times where, you know, a ball that was a little bit high, but not an interception ball by any chance, turns into an interception. Fourth down plays, they go through the hands of a wide receiver. Like, I'm really hoping this year that's not the case and that his teammates step up for him. And Adam, what you said about the injuries, I just wanted to say 2 things about that. Injuries, the biggest things with injuries is, when do they happen and who do they happen to? Because if Justin Fields, God forbid, goes down, you could forget it. You could forget it. The way this team is built, you could forget it. It's who is getting injured, and every position is important, but I think obviously there's premiums. You don't want to see a shutdown corner go down, an edge rusher go down, a tackle go down, or your quarterback go down. So I think it depends who it happens to and what time of the season. If, you know, a guy goes out with an ankle sprain in the first week, that's not going to derail your whole season. even if it is the quarterback. That shouldn't derail you. But, you know, that happens in the playoff push. Last four games of the season where you're a bubble team, talking about a whole different story.
Yeah, and I will say this too. If P.J. Walker has to play a
couple games,
He's okay. He's shown it.
He's shown
that he can play. He's made plays to D.J. Moore. We remember last year against Atlanta. I believe it was.
He had that sick play to D.J. Moore.
How do you feel about D.J. Moore? Because, again, like, I get into these conversations with people, and they're like, well, don't think that he's A.J. Brown or Stephon Diggs. I'm like, no, he absolutely is. It's nearly the same thing. Our friend Matt Harmon joined us a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the impact of D.J. Moore coming to this team and what he means to an organization and a passing game and everything like that. How do you feel? I love D.J. I've always loved D.J. Moore.
I think D.J. Moore is a second-tier wide receiver one, true wide receiver one, wherein I will not put him in the stratosphere of Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. I just can't do that. I think there's a couple guys in this league, Tyreek Hill. I cannot put him on that tier. However, do I think he's on the playing field with these other wide receiver ones? Yes, I think he's a true wide receiver one. And I talked about this on another podcast not long ago. He's not some guy that's a default wide receiver one just because he's the best wide receiver on your team.
Yes.
DJ Moore probably goes to any team in the league minus a handful or less and is the wide receiver one on all those teams. So he's a true wide receiver one. He's shown it with multiple different guys playing the quarterback position in Carolina. Didn't have the best quarterback situation in Carolina. Didn't have the best head coach situation for a little while there. So I think he is what they needed to do. Brilliant move by Ryan Poles to get that done. They had to do something for Justin, and they were in a precarious position because I think before that trade was made for the one pick, I think Adam, you and I both knew they were going to deal the one pick. There wasn't any question about that.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest problem was that everyone was like, well, they need help on the offensive line desperately. They need to draft offensive line. But then there was the camp that was, they desperately need a weapon, a true wide receiver one weapon for Justin Fields. And he was able to pull off both. And that's why if you're a Bears fan sitting here criticizing Ryan Poles still, I want to know what you would have done in his position or what you thought. Do you think somebody could have done the job better? Or you think that Ryan Pace would? I mean, this guy has come in here and he's weaved some things into gold. Like you said, Adam, parlaying five picks or six picks into 11 picks, you know, getting the wide receiver one, still getting another first round pick and getting your hopefully your franchise tackle all in the same offseason. What more do you want from the guy? Really? I mean, he had the worst salary cap situation 2 years ago. Now, obviously this year it improved vastly, but 2 years ago he had nothing. He had no draft equity. And here we are. Yes, we had the number one pick. Yes, we had the worst record in the league, but the Bears were in almost every single football game they played in last year. They did not. That was the difference last year. And I think I said this the last time I was on, Adam. I wasn't embarrassed to watch them last year.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed to watch them the two seasons before that. Last year, I was not. I was proud of them. I was proud of them because the roster was not up to par yet. And any football fan who knows what you're talking about could see that.
The Mitch Trubisky winning the MVP. Against the Saints. And that play, was it the Saints or card? Saints.
It was the Saints in the wild card game. And then my buddy bought me the MVP and sent it to my house as a joke. One of my buddies sent me an MVP with the Nickelodeon t-shirt. And it said, Mitch, MVP with the graphic right on the t-shirt. Horrible. Horrible.
And I think it was Big Cat who orchestrated that or some of her. I just thought it was a Bears fan dumb thing anyways. But in any event, that was more embarrassing to me than what happened last season where the Bears were playing games that were entertaining. They were fun. There was a lot of 50-50 games. Yep. And, you know, and you talk about the people who are around him. And there was some kid on Twitter. And again, I wish I would have bookmarked this so I could go back and give him the credit. But he was looking at some of the plays last season, the practice squad receiver. I don't know why the name Cam Meredith comes to my head. It's not him. He wore number 10, but he fumbles that ball at Minnesota. Our guy Bayless made a couple of mistakes, a couple of rookie mistakes. Darnell Mooney not catching a ball at the goal line. There was a lot of things going on.
St. Brown dropping a drive extending play against the Dolphins on fourth down.
That's the fourth down pass. Like all those plays DJ Moore is going to be making this year.
Yes.
And to your point too, I think that Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in the game, followed closely by Ja'Marr Chase. Devontae Adams is probably still up in that mix. Yes, and then you're like, and then you mentioned Tyreek Hill, and I was like, okay. And then it's like, all right, I'm starting to not.
That's
like,
that's the cream of the crop tier. That's that one tier. Devontae, JJ, Chase, Hill, I have to put over Moore. But he's right on that next rung. AJ Brown, all those guys, you put them all there. He's
even
there
with,
on that second tier.
Even if Cooper Kupp, because I think Cooper Kupp plays so differently. And you saw that the year that the Rams won the Super Bowl, how important it was to have Odell Beckham Jr. on that team, that if you had DJ Moore on the Rams, he would be playing that kind of role and would be very valuable. And you would really, he would really shine through. But I think that given the opportunity to play with Justin Fields, to really be a true number one with a true number one quarterback and not some of the scrubs that the Carolina Panthers were running out there. Not that Sam Darnold had more of an opportunity before he got hurt, but you know what? I look at it. I'm like, I think for both players, Justin Fields and DJ Moore, they both have an opportunity to really go out there and establish themselves as two of the best young players at their positions moving forward, and an opportunity to erase no doubt. Because when you look through this, and obviously my predictions are out there, and I had the we did the predictions on this show, and I'm sorry, Sammy, if my predictions were different, the ones that I had to do for NFL.com, I was not pressured, but you know, I had to go through and do some other things. But like when you look at some of the quarterbacks the Chicago Bears are going to be playing against this season, now they're going to go up against Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, obviously Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league. Nobody disputes that. Yeah. But then you got the ghost of Russell Wilson, Sam Howell, Kirk Cousins, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Herbert's a great quarterback, Derek Carr's okay. Bryce Young, Goff, Cousins, Goff, the guy in Cleveland, whomever the quarterback is for Arizona, Desmond Ritter, and then Jordan Love again. It's like, you know what? There are not many games that Chicago is going to be walking into this year where you're like, we have a severe deficiency at quarterback. Like, I wish we had this. There's only one where you're kind of like, I wish we had.
Yeah, I mean, last year you're playing Aaron Rodgers twice. You're playing Jalen Hurts. You're playing Josh Allen. I mean, last year was it was definitely a difficult – you played Tua when Tua was, like, putting up MVP, MVP numbers. I mean, you played – I don't want to say you played Daniel Jones, but the way the Giants paid Daniel Jones, you want to think that he's a top-tier guy. So, I think that they could get sneaky. I saw your record prediction. I know you're catching a ton of heat for it, but I try to explain to everybody. I was like,
I'm catching love for people.
Adam's going to pick the Bears. Adam's a loyal guy. He's going to pick the Bears. And that's that, but I do see a pathway to some wins this season. I do. I do. I think they could float right around eight wins to 10 wins. I think 10 is the ceiling. I do. I'm being conservative in saying that. I know you said what, Adam, 12?
Of course.
Yes. So I think 10 is as high as I go. I think that'll be my ceiling under optimal conditions. I could be wrong, but you know what? I would sign on for 10-7 right now. I would sign on the dotted line for 10-7 right now. I would.
For real. And obviously, you know, I've made this point time and time again, that if you look at what Detroit did last season, being 9-8, everybody loved them. The fun win, closing out the season, beating the Packers, which the Bears would have that opportunity again, this time being in, we're in Lambeau Field, if I'm not mistaken. We close in Lambeau Field.
Yes.
Let me see this, but we close in Lambeau Field. Open and close. Okay, that's the way to go. I don't like divisional games in the very beginning of the season. I think you should be able to saunter in it. It annoys me, but I think that the NFL misses an opportunity that if you just made week five rivalry week where you play your chief rival, and I know I get some grief because they're like, well, outside of the Bears and Packers, there aren't a lot. I'm like, you can figure it out. You know who everybody's rival is. I just think it would be a pretty cool way to do that, but I feel very confident with the way this team is, or even what Jacksonville did last year when Doug Peterson took over. And again, and by the way, I know that I predicted the Titans to win four games, and maybe I wasn't giving them enough of the benefit of the doubt. These Titan fans trying to sell, like, what is they're trying to, like, disregard Trevor Lawrence. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't understand people doing it with Justin Fields, but, like, Trevor Lawrence, the guy who's been dominant, like, stop it.
Yeah, no, but that Trevor Lawrence looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league at the end of the season last year. I mean, he was awesome. So
that was that's so hilarious that the Titan fans are just, and I know that we're not going to sit here and spend time ripping on the Titans, but like, that is not the area you attack the Jags on. You want to say their defense isn't good, their offensive line isn't very good? Fine. Calvin Ridley might not be good spending a whole year on the sidelines because of his suspension. Okay. Don't try to tell me that Trevor Lawrence is not a good quarterback. I've had to fight everybody on Justin Fields. I don't want to have to do it for Trevor Lawrence as well. But so what is it? It was our friend Clay Harbor asked today on Twitter. He's like, hey, 3,000 passing yards for Justin Fields this year. What do you think? Do you think he goes above 3,000 passing yards? What is your estimation for Justin Fields in regards to throwing the football?
I think he has to go over 3,000 yards. I think he has to go over 3,000 yards. If he doesn't go over 3,000 yards passing this year, I think it's a problem. I think he should land around 3,500, right around 3,500 is where he should land. He's got a tight end who he's proven to establish chemistry with last year in Cole Kmet, a young tight end still. Don't sell the Bob Tonyan pickup as a bad one, because I kind of like the Bob Tonyan pickup. But yeah, now you got Claypool, who – I will not make any more excuses for Claypool. I said, give him one full offseason to get with the program, to get with the system, and then let's judge him next year after, you know, midway through next year's season, this season coming up, obviously. So you got the big target in Claypool. You got your number one in Moore. You got your reliable guy in Mooney, who they've been playing together now for three seasons. So this should be a 3,000-plus yard season. 3,500 is what I'd like to see, obviously, or more. And then I think you got some running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield, in particular, Roshan Johnson from Texas. I think this running back room is exciting, Adam. I think the running back room, these three running backs that they got now with Herbert, obviously the free agent they bring over from Carolina, and Roshan Johnson, the rookie they draft out of Texas, who, by the way, you don't know about Roshan Johnson because of who he played behind at Texas. If he had not played behind that man, he would have been starting on probably every other team in the country. That's how talented he was. But that's not the case, obviously, because he's playing behind Bijan Robinson. But this running back room is exciting for me. I think it's deep. I think they're going to be good. And if the line is better, I think it's going to take some pressure. The play action game should be there. Teams are going to have to respect the run game because they could spell any one of these guys. And I think the next guy that comes in is going to be just as capable. So I'm very excited about the run game. And that's not really, you know, I always kind of get on Bears fans because they're so, so enamored with David Montgomery and the running and Jordan Howard. And I get it. But I think that this running back room has me more excited than any running back room I could think of in recent history. Maybe when Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen were at like their ultra powers and they were that 1-2 like thunder and lightning kind of combination. Yeah. That was very cool. But I think this running back room has a chance to be special. I think that's going to help Justin get to that 3,500 yard mark. That's where I'd love to see him land.
Well, you know what? It goes back to what you were talking about with Roquan Smith, is that you traded Roquan Smith effectively for Edmonds and Edwards. So you got a 2-for-1. And similarly, I think if with letting David Montgomery go, you're getting Deonte Foreman. And I gotta check in with Aaron Clark and find out. Is it Donta, Deonte? What we need? I need the
I believe it's Deonte.
I get told something different every year because it's a big thing. Because he's fantasy relevant. So I've always got to talk about him on Fantasy Live. I will get with Joniak. He will be my source here, but you have him and you bring in Roshan Johnson. Then again, it's another 2-for-1 switch where you're like, I feel very comfortable with the group. As much as I love the individual, having the group, I think we're stronger. We're stronger as a group. Instead of paying all this money to Roquan, instead of paying all this money to David Montgomery, we brought in depth, which again is going to be one of the biggest keys.
If you don't have CMC and you don't have Saquon Barkley, and really off the top of my head, Alvin Kamara of a couple years ago, I wouldn't even say today's version of Alvin Kamara. If you don't have one of these like uber special type of running backs, and even then, I think you have to really make a consideration, because just look at what happened with the Dallas Cowboys lost a pretty good Amari Cooper that still had a lot in the tank because of how much money they paid to Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. And I think they were missing that, even though they had CeeDee Lamb. It's difficult for me now to justify sinking a ton of money into the running back. It just is. And that's no offense to these guys who play running back at all. It's just that I just see the mileage that their body's taking, the pounding, and if they're not able to do those type of crazy things, like, and CMC is obviously a unicorn, and you saw what impact he had for San Francisco, but he's also surrounded by a hell of a support cast. I'm all for the running back by committee. I have no issue with it. I don't understand why people do if it works. If it
it's the fantasy dorks, the fantasy people.
Yeah, I get that.
That's the only people who care.
Then you got to, you know what, if that's the case, then you got to hope you have one of the, you know, top five picks and you take one of the, one of those, you know, throwback guys that are the only, they're the bell cow guys. You got to go with those guys.
Christian McCaffrey last year from week 8 on, when he took over as the lead running back for San Francisco, was the only guy over that stretch from weeks 8 to 18 who had over 1,000 combined scrimmage yards and 10 plus touchdowns. Like, he's just incredible. He played 17 games. Like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We don't have that guy. We could have had that guy. We could have had that guy instead of Mitch Trubisky, but that's a story for another. I remember doing my mock draft with a twist that year. And I was specifically saying, like, don't take Mitch Trubisky. I said, if the Bears are going to take a quarterback, it should be the guy who's in Cleveland, who as a football player on the field is okay, but with everything that happened, probably best not to listen to me. But I love the idea of taking Christian McCaffrey. And Bears fan, that was the same draft. And Bears fans were against it. Like, no way. You would never want CMC. Or like, okay, that we can revisit this one at another time. I think that one ended up being one in my favor. But those guys aren't around. And I think with the variety that we have, and Khalil Herbert is still, you know, a capable talent as well, we're going to find the best guy. And we've got a guy, our right tackle is exceptional as a run blocker. I think there's a lot of McGlinchey for Darnell Wright. The more that I watch it, I'm like, he's going to get blown up by a couple of pass rushers this year. And people are going to be like, oh, look, this was a bust. And then he's going to be such a road grader as they run the football that it'll equal out. He's going to be fine. But I think that, yeah, having all three of those guys with the tight end room, with the depth at the wide receiver position, I mean, Travis Scott is still there. And so, you know, we had him on the show last week. Yeah, he was fun. And the thing that I loved about him is that he came on immediately and was rocking his Bears gear. Like, he was coming off of practice, and so he was coming in. He was he embraced the culture. He even, and I know it's Tyler Scott. Get off. Okay, I got it. I'm still learning. It's still OTAs for me as well. I think I said Travis.
Tyler. I don't know, because that slipped by me, but yeah, Tyler, Cincinnati. And I think he could take the top off of defense. And that's what they need. And I think he's going to be a good compliment. I think he's going to see more time than people think this season. I think he'll see a little more time than people think.
Yeah, I do too. I really like him and I love his film and he's grading out. And when you put him against guys like Rashee Rice at SMU and Tank Dell, like the people that he was being drafted against, I'm like, I think we ended up with the best guy. Agreed. And even I'll even go so far as to say this. There's a wide receiver who I work with who does not think a lot of Quentin Johnston. And we were going over some evaluations and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm like, what about Tyler here? He's like, ooh, that's a player that I like. So we'll see. And we'll see if he's going to be able to adjust, because the player that I knew, who I talked to, did not play at a Power 5 conference, even though the school that he went to is now a Power 5 school. When he was there, it was a Mountain West school. So he told me, he goes, the first thing that you got to do is the first time you get hit by a guy, whether it's an SEC guy or whatever it is, it takes you back. And he was saying, like, you know, it's one of those things that, okay, he's like, the first time it happened to me, and this guy is one of the toughest players who ever played in the NFL. He was like, I was shook for a second, but I went back out there and I wanted to take that guy on, and he never got over on me again. And so hopefully Tyler Scott has that same kind of experience coming in and facing these guys, because it's going to be a step up from his conference. Like, I'm not telling tales out of school, but you know what? As long as he can make that adjustment, we saw Braxton Jones last year having to deal with that as well. We hope that he's going to make that jump. But you know what? They have the ability to do it. So I think that he's going to be a good one, and I think he will make that adjustment for sure. But let's see. Sammy, do we have any questions? I didn't realize we've gone 45. Don't make him wait. Hey, Adam, I've really enjoyed your Bears pick on the NFL Network last week. It was one of the few things that made me smile. I had to say goodbye to my tuxedo. Oh, no, buddy. So I needed it. Thanks for keeping. Oh, gosh. Bear fan. Bear Forever 14. First of all, thank you so much for always being a part of this show, being very generous with you and supporting and everything like that. Dude, there is nothing worse. I got to be honest with you. Comparatively, but like when you put down a companion, a cat or a dog or anything like that, it just kills me. To this day, I have never replaced my dog that I had to put down in 2009. It's been a long time. I couldn't get over it. So I'm sorry about that. Sorry about Buddy, but I know that he was a faithful companion. Oh, it's a tough one.
Yeah. Sorry. That's brutal. That's a part of the reason that, well, the other fact that I have two toddlers running around. So I just, I can't picture bringing another
being
into this home that I have to be responsible for.
That too.
But yeah, no. Putting down an animal. I mean, my mother had cats growing up my whole life. So, I mean, she had to put down several of them, and it's never fun. It's always brutal, and very sorry to hear that. That sucks.
Oh, we're sorry to hear that. I'm glad the prediction brought a smile to your face. I'm glad we're able to bring a little bit of joy, because I know how difficult that is. I still don't even like talking about it. Oh my God, James. Oh, so I know how tough that was. But thanks for being here with us tonight. We appreciate it, Sammy. How about, is there another Fields? This is from Brennan. Fields is an awesome fantasy option value doing to his running. With Fields passing more and running less, where do you rank him in the 6-point passing league? You know what? That's the thing. When you get 6 points for passing touchdowns, it equals out. Then you don't need to favor the running quarterbacks, because last year Fields would not have been as valuable in that league where he is in other leagues where passing touchdowns are worth 4. I really believe that as long as he's going out there and he's scoring, think about this. He's probably going to rush for 30 yards every week. I think that's a very conservative estimate.
Very conservative. Yeah.
He's probably not going to rush.
That's probably right.
So you get like a little bit of a bonus. So I think that he's still a very valuable quarterback in 6-point passing leagues. I would favor somebody like Trevor Lawrence over him, where in traditional fantasy leagues without passing bonuses and everything like that, I would probably have Justin ahead of Trevor Lawrence. So I think he's still going to be very good. I've never asked you, are you a big fantasy guy?
Yeah, I've been playing in the same 3 leagues.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you do. And you also do. You like the props. That's your thing, right? Oh, props are the best.
Yeah, I love props. Love props. But yeah, no, I've been playing in the same couple leagues for years now. We just started one for our podcast last year. So, I love fantasy. I don't play in any league that's a 6-point passing touchdown league. I play all PPR leagues, traditional scoring for the quarterback other than that. And no individual defensive players, just team defense. We took the kickers out of our league because we hated kickers because we thought it was just a ridiculous way to lose a game or win a game. In a 6-point passing league, Adam, I agree. You should probably, I agree, his value is probably diminished in a league like that. But I think, he could light it up. He could light it up this year. It's going to really be like a coin flip to see what happens with his passing, I think. I'm very, very anxious to see what kind of strides he makes this year as a passer. I think everyone is. Anybody involved with this team is probably very anxious to see it.
Anxious. That's a good way to put it too, because as much fun as it's going to be going up against Green Bay in week one, there is still a little part of you that's like, Jesus, do not lose this game.
Do not lose that game at home.
We cannot
lose. Not to Jordan Love. You cannot.
We cannot. And if we,
you will deflate the entire fan base the first week if you go out and lose that game at home to that team without Aaron Rodgers. The bad man's finally gone. The bad man is gone. And now they roll into your building with that guy, and you got your guy who's supposed to be the guy. You cannot lose that game in week one. You can't. You can't. Yeah. I don't want to hear anything about it. You can't. You cannot.
I will be leaving like in Greece or something. I will disappear. I will. I've got fake passports already where I'm just like, wow. Oh, okay. I've got a bunch of cash, fake passports. And yeah, I'm like Matthew Bourne.
He's going to shave his beard. He's going to.
Yeah. You.
Yeah.
There'll be somebody else. I don't know. Sammy will be doing the sick podcast by himself. I don't even want to fathom it, but yeah, no. Anxious is a good way to put that. But oh, by the way, I also want to say this point. Know your league scoring. Whenever you do fantasy football, take a moment, look over your league scoring. My league of record is 6 points for passing touchdowns. And you also, it's like playing poker where you got to play the person. Now, in a lot of leagues, you go out there and, you know, you're in a 10-team league. Once 9 quarterbacks are drafted, you can feel pretty confident that nobody's going to draft another quarterback, at least until like the late, late rounds. My friends are not like that. Like the top 20 quarterbacks go in the first 6 rounds.
Oh boy.
And it's just the way they draft. And unless you want to be stuck with somebody like Kirk Cousins, was fine last year, but I still hated it that he was my quarterback in my league of record. I'm in the second city league as well. And the weighting of the quarterback passing is even more like perverse. Like quarterbacks are like still like, I don't know how the scoring works, but it's like, you got to have an elite quarterback and nobody's picked up on this trend. They still draft like quarterbacks are dime a dozen. And I'll use my second or third round pick on a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And my team sucked last year, but I had Patrick Mahomes. I got all the way to the finals.
Yeah.
Like it just like yeah.
That could do for you though. That's what that could do for you. It could carry you a long way. A great quarterback can carry you a long way.
Okay. As long as you know the scoring and there's bonuses for long touchdowns and things, it's just crazy. So take a moment before you're getting ready for your fantasy drafts this season. This will be a little bit of a fantasy PSA. Know the scoring. Look at the scoring from last year. Like who were the most valuable players in the league? And if there were quarterbacks, they'll probably be quarterbacks again. Make sure that you draft those guys. How about another question though, Sammy? Ooh, Ron, what's going on? Hey, Adam, do you think the Bears will make the playoffs? That's the million dollar question. Ronnie, let me tell you something. I do. I think they're going to win the division. Listen, what do you want me to say? I don't think that Detroit is going to be as good as everybody thinks.
I agree with that. And you know what? It's funny because I've done a little bit of a 180 on that. At the beginning of the offseason, I was like, Detroit really going to. And then I'm thinking about it more and more. And I'm like, this is Detroit we're talking about. This is Jared Goff we're talking about. Schedule this year, I don't think is as favorable as it was last year. I still think that they should be favored out of respect to win the division. I do. Them or Minnesota, but I hated everything Minnesota did this offseason. I hate it. So I'm going to put Detroit as my favorite. I think best case scenario, the Bears can compete for a wild card spot. The second wild card spot, to be specific, I think they can compete for it. I think they could compete I think they'll win more divisional games this year than they've won in quite some time. Combination of Aaron Rodgers being gone and the Bears improving the roster overall. I think they'll win more divisional games this year. They better because they've only won one in the Ryan Poles era so far.
Yeah.
That's not good enough. So I think you'll see that number, maybe 500 we could get to this year. But yeah, I think they can contend for a wild card spot. I do.
Even in my optimistic view, I had the Bears, sweeping the Packers because it's me. But I had us 4-2 in the division. And I love the Lions fans who are like, duh, there's no way you get a game from us. I'm like, are you kidding me?
They're not really feeling themselves though, the Lions.
You're not the Chiefs. Like, well, let it
that's
go.
That's what we're going to see. Let's see that opening night, the Chiefs and the Lions for that first game of the season. That ought to be interesting, to say the very least. I don't know if that's the opener, the Thursday night. Is it the Thursday night opener?
Yeah, that's the opener.
It is, right? That Prime is going time, to baby. Be so fascinating because I can absolutely see the Chiefs going there. I don't know. Is the game in Detroit? I think the game's even in Detroit. It's in Kansas City. Kansas City. Yeah. The Detroit Lions are going to lose that game by 4 touchdowns. They are going to get blitzed by the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought it was in Detroit. It's in Kansas City at Arrowhead. They are going to lose that game by close to 4 touchdowns. Watch. They will get blitzed, and then they'll go back in their hole, the Detroit fans, and they'll be quiet until they beat a divisional opponent. Then they'll start chirping again.
Yeah, they're like, Andy Reid doesn't mess around. They're like, Reid and Belichick are the two coaches, like, if it was McVay, and I think the Rams might have won week one last year, trying to remember.
The Bills, but like, they did win that game.
No, they got smoked. The Bills smoked them. Remember, like, the Bills came to Los Angeles and crushed them.
Yes. Everyone was expecting it to be a great game, and it was a blowout.
It was terrible. Terrible game.
You're right.
So Andy Reid does not mess around, and you give him an entire offseason to get ready for Dan Campbell's nonsense. Oh, I can't wait. And then Jameson Williams is not going to be available to you. Jahmyr Gibbs might end up being a really good player. He's not going to be in week one. Oh, this is going to be so delightful. I cannot wait. And all the Chiefs fans who think that I hate their team, I don't. It's going to be fun. But in any event, by the way, I know that we're coming up against it. Sammy, do we have anything that we got to get to? Is there somebody that we are missing? There is. So be it. If not, we're going to move on. Show me in the chat. I'm assuming if no questions coming up, but listen, okay, because Mikey's got to get out of here. We got obligations, but I want to thank you so much for being out here. I really appreciate every time that you join us, and you're very generous with your time. It's always fun too, because we always have these great conversations, and always appreciate it. Always look forward to it. Now I can ask you though, because I've been dying to ask. You can't hit the driver. What's going on? What's happening?
That's terrible.
Is it that bad? Like, are you spraying it, or what? What is happening?
Just worm burner after worm burner. It's terrible.
Really?
It's just terrible.
And you're driving.
I hit some great iron shots the other day. Great iron shots. Probably the best iron shots I've hit since I started playing. Chipping, putting, no issue. Driver is just so bad. I gotta go for a lesson for the driver. I didn't go for a lesson for the driver. I started with lessons with wedge iron. I have to go for a lesson with the driver, because there's something in my setup. There's something completely, completely screwed up with it. I gotta get it fixed, because it's embarrassing. Because you got to figure, I go out on the tee box. Now I could get it off the tee.
You're 6'8". Yes.
I'm 6'7", 265 pounds, in pretty decent shape. So for me not to be able to hit the ball off the tee is like, for 250 yards, is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I should be driving the ball minimally to 240, 250. And that's not the case, not even close. So I got to get that adjusted. But other than that, I love golf. But it is the most frustrating, most difficult thing I've ever undertaken by a wide margin. I got a master's degree, went back to school, did all this post-grad work. That was nothing compared to golf. Nothing. Nothing. I would go back for a doctorate before I'd ever be able to be good at golf. Golf is just so insanely difficult. It's insane.
I will tell you, the other day, I was 3 over through 9, very good about myself. And that happened. And I drove a ball out of bounds and ended up taking a double bogey on one hole. So I was feeling it. And I went out to the range today after my round, after I played another 9, and worked on it. The driver is very difficult. I got to have the alignment sticks. I kept pushing the ball. Like, I had to get alignment sticks to make sure that, like, okay, I got to make sure. Cause I'm like, why is it going right? It just turned out my feet were pointed in the wrong direction. So it is a very frustrating game, but it was very delightful to have you here tonight. Where can everybody follow you? Where can everybody find you? If they're not, I'm sure they are already.
Yeah, follow me any platform, at Bear Down Cuz, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and that's where we are.
All right, so go out there, check them out. Make sure you're following along. We'll have them back on the show, of course, before the season starts. But thanks again for being here. Carmen Vitale should be joining us next week, I think. If not, We'll find another guest because we always do. But until that time, thanks so much for being here. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.